So the big question is this: how do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answers.
All right, welcome everybody to today's podcast. We're going to be talking about how to be top of your game today. When it comes to sales, look, it's always going to be challenging, but we've got a guest who's been in sales a long time, found some of the secret sauce to 3X your sales results and stay on top of your game. So today we've brought in Brad Young. He's the managing director of North American Sales at Russell Investments. Brad, thanks so much for joining. How the heck are you?
Yeah, thanks, Gabe, very much. A long title, but definitely not the simplicity that most salespeople expect.
I love it. Well, we appreciate you jumping in again. When I saw kind of your background, it's always great to have somebody who's been doing sales a long time as successfully as you have. So again, thanks for joining. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and Russell Investment?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you a little bit about myself, which is the most important part of it. Which is, you know, I've been in sales ever since I've been 10 years old. And, you know, many of you may not know this, but paper routes did exist one day here in the U.S. And that was what I call the ultimate hustler job, where not only did you responsible for business, but, you know, retaining and making certain customers are happy, but also acquiring new customers and understanding, you know, personal situations with a lot of people. And that's really what built my foundation for sales and my love for working with people and helping people. And I think when you look at sales, that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to make a difference in people's lives. And we're in it, not necessarily for the money, that's part of it, that's an outcome, but it's really to help people. And so grew up in Wisconsin. I've been on the Packers season ticket waiting list. I know that just turned it off some of your listeners, since 1994. And I'm still waiting for those tickets. I think I'll be 91 by the time I get those at the current rate. So let's hope that we, science and medicine continue to improve longevity here. So I live out here in Seattle, been out here about 14 years, working for Russell Investments. And some of you might know us historically for the Russell Indexes, but basically what we do is our belief is that we help advisors, institutions, and in investors help improve people's financial security. And we do that through investment products. And some of the firms that we've worked with on the institutional side might be things like Boeing and their pension plan and Coca-Cola and AT&T. So it's really a trust-based relationship. And it's a way that we sell typically to other individuals such as advisors and financial institutions who help individual investors achieve their own personal financial goals with money.
I love it. I love it. So, is that true? I mean, it's that hard to get Packers tickets? Are you kidding?
It is. Unless you're on the secret list. I better not tell people about the secret list, but I'll probably get those in about another 5 years. But it is. I've charted every number, priority number, since 1993-4 when I got the original letter back in the snail mail on my priority number.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, that sounds like you are going to be 90 years old. That's too bad.
Yeah, it's going to be a while. I'm still number 5,106, but who's counting?
I love it. Well, let's get into the topic. It sounds like you've had a fun career starting at the paper route and closing here with Russell Investments. So this topic, I mean, you've been in sales a long time. You've seen good, you've seen bad. I loved some of these points we talked about. This first idea of kind of preparation. Dive into that. Why is that so important when you want to be top of your game?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's often when you look at the top performers, and we have a sales team of 72, both inside and external sales and what we call hybrid sales teams in the U.S. and another 26 in Canada. And when we look at the difference between top performers and top salespeople and those that are just average, when you boil it down to it is the preparation. It is avoiding the spray and pray approach to traditional selling. In our industry, it used to be, hey, it's activity, it's activity, it's activity. It's if you did 10 meetings, you got 3 appointments, you got 1 close, right? Well, that is not the way, that is not the most efficient way that top performers look and view how they sell. They actually look at it trying to get to that 2-to-1-to-1, 2 contacts to 1 meeting to 1 close. And they really focus on the quality more so than the quantity. And in leadership, we have to actually understand that and look for systems and data and ways to complement these top performers or salespeople in general to help them learn more about the customer. See, years ago, you never had the thing called Google. But now Google and other ways to learn more about your customer is really important. And that preparation, understanding who they are, what they do, putting in good notes into your CRM system. The worst experience that a client or a potential prospect can have is you get the third call from the same organization, and I've received it, which is, tell me about your business. As soon as that happens, it's over. Because right now, for the third or fourth time, you should know about me. There's a lot of information sources that you can get, whether it's customers, competitors, previous people that worked at the phone, go through LinkedIn. There's lots of different ways that you can do your research and do your preparation so that when you're at the meeting is more impactful. It's more engaging and it's more about them rather than them telling you about sort of this fluff. You can get right into the main points. What's the problem that you're having with your current systems? What are you trying to solve? What is the issue that you need help with the most? And it becomes into this interview question, but the questions are more impactful rather than taking 3 or 4 meetings to get to the heart of whether you can help them or not. You get it quicker. And I think that research and preparation means that there's no excuses not to have a pre-planned focus of what the purpose of the meeting. Every time you meet with somebody, every phone call, every webinar, what is the purpose of that meeting? And what are you trying to accomplish? And what are you trying to accomplish? And what are you going to learn about the problem or solution that you can help them with that problem? And sometimes, by definition, once you know who they are, you actually do your research. You know exactly what the problem may or may not be. And you can ask them and leverage all of your other experiences with either similar customers or same people at different industries about what is the problem they're trying to solve. And I think that's what most top salespeople are. They're passionate about helping people, and they're really good at preparation and understanding how they can help them.
Yeah. Do you feel like, I love the point, and you're right, this idea of preparation and research makes a difference. Do you feel like you've found, even certainly different industries are going to be a little different here, but what is it? I mean, is it finding the thing that is about the person, you know, something like yourself, like you did a paper route, you know, when you were young? Is it finding something about the company? Have you found any kind of tricks of research? Because I feel like people are they're starting to get that, but I do feel like a lot of people are like, now I know I should do, but I don't know what I should do.
Yeah, it is essential. That personal connection, when you really think about relationships, we are in the relationship business, right? When you really think about sales, it's finding that connection and building that trust. The trust is a foundation. Every successful client we have, every successful salesperson, they know exactly how to build that trust and that connection. Like we were talking about, you know, one of the things that really drew me to have this conversation with you, Gabe, is I looked at one of your previous articles and it talked about, you know, is the phone dead? And I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. Somebody that actually asked the right question. And I loved your response in an article. And what I look at is and say, is the biggest thing about what we can do is have that personal connection. And I kind of connected with you there because your response is exactly how I was thinking. And when you actually do your research, which is I did that, not in prep for this, but I just did it, is I understand if you have a connection like from Wisconsin or personal connection, kids and sports and a passion outside of work, you know, look at LinkedIn, look at Facebook, find that connection. And that is going to be so powerful because you have something in common with that person, or you have an experience. You can share some frustrations if your favorite sports team lost in the national baseball championship series like mine did. You have a connection. And I think that connection establishes trust that much quicker. And that's all done through the preparation.
You know, it's funny. Some people feel like you can go too personal, you know, and there probably is a boundary, but I do. I like when people find something about me that kind of makes me smile, you know, or is a little off topic. My alumni school is terrible at football, mm-hmm. or whatever it may be. So I appreciate sometimes that personal touch to kind of go the extra mile. So, okay. So one piece here is kind of the concept of research, getting ready. Now, point two, you kind of touched on this concept of making sure you get to the why and really problem solving. Is there mm-hmm. something deeper in that idea of why is it so important to get to a problem as to what you're really trying to solve with them? And how do you start thinking about doing that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I mean, many of you on this call probably get what I get every day, which is thousands of spam emails that come flying through my inbox. And those emails contain these two-page diatribes about how you're going to solve world peace. And the reality is you lost me, right? You completely lost me at hello. And the reason is that you don't understand me. You're not understanding the personal nature, and my time is valuable. So you've lost me. And then you send a response email, some automated thing, and then you call me, and you're not going to get my attention. You're not going to get, you know, you're not going to know me because you don't know the real problem I have. And if you really think about sales is about identifying a problem, providing a solution, and adding value around that solution. What is that solution? And here's the biggest thing. So a mentor of mine said one time, he said, look at this. You can take your fancy laptop, your iPad into a meeting. I want you to shut that. I want you to bring a traditional yellow notepad. I want you to sit down and I want you just to listen. And if you can't solve that problem, I want you, and this was a top producing advisor that we were working with, shut that notebook and say, I can't help you, and walk out. And I actually couldn't help this guy. The product he was looking for, I didn't have. I recommended a competitor, politely shut my notepad. And as I was walking out, he goes, Brad, why are you leaving? And I go, because I gave you a solution. I can't really help you. And I gave you the contact information of a competitor. And you're like, he's like, no, I want to work with you. That to me says a lot about who you are, what your firm is. And what it taught me as a sales leader and as an individual sales contributor at the time was that when you actually build that connection with people and you're not afraid to admit, and I'll call it, admit that you don't have an answer for everything, that empathy, that understanding of, hey, I'm doing this because it's in the best interest of you rather than the best interest of me. That advisor was my top 10 producer 12 months later. And the reason is because that trust was there. He knew that I had his best interest, his client's best interest, and I was helping him rather than myself. See, the quote I like to use, I don't work for money, money works for me. And the reason I say that is I work within the best interest of the clients. And the more value I provide, the more service I provide, the more insight and help I provide, the return will come. Whether it's with that person or when I think the biggest thing that we as salespeople on this podcast can really understand is the power of referrals. Yeah. The power of referrals happen because people trust you and they're willing to give your name to somebody else because of when you look at the top performers, they're solving more problems and they're actually being a consultant bringing their firm's products and others to help make certain that the value that that client receives is better than any competitor that would ever send them an email or spam trying to get in their office or them on the phone. So I think, Gabe, the biggest summary of that is you've got to know the problem you're solving, which is only done with the interview process. That's about 80% of the sales process is understanding the real problem. And sometimes they say it and you have to go, well, why is that a problem? And they're going to go, well, because it is a problem here. And you go, I don't see that. I have the ability to work with 200 other of my clients. Here's some of the problems they're running into. And the real reason they're running into is X. And you're bringing that insight and your experience into everything else to blanket that client or that prospect and say, here's what I'm seeing. You're getting free advice and guidance. And here's how it can help you make a better decision in your business or better decision of why we might be the right solution for your problem.
Wow, interesting. Do you feel like, and you and I touched on this just a little bit, because it does seem like in your world, you know, I feel like there was a mantra back, you know, back then that was more like the spray and pray, or, you know, the mm-hmm. Quote unquote cold callers.
Yeah, you guys, that's true.
And look, I'm a fan of work hard, you know, quality, quantity. I don't, yep. You know, sometimes people have over rotated too much to this idea of, well, I should maybe spend 5 hours crafting an email. And I'm like, well, there's probably a balance there, but, do you feel like, though, this concept of consultative sales, where you really get in and begin to get away from just, hey, do you want to buy? Hey, do you want to buy? Hey, do you want to buy? And try to kind of teach, tailor, and take control. How has that affected yep. your industry? And you feel like that is one of those things that does or does not make a difference?
Yeah, Gabe, it's 100% essential. It's a differentiator. Absolutely. I mean, when you look at our top salespeople, they literally in our business, and this might not be different than other businesses, but we look at it and say, we look at the metrics and the data and you see it plain as day. Our top salespeople find between 100 to 200 clients and prospects that they want to work with. And what they do is they come in, they teach, tailor, and train them about how to build better businesses, how to build better investment solutions for their clients, how that by using us, it's more than just a product sale. It's going to be a process sale, meaning this, that we're gonna the product is a solution, but that's just a cost. The value that we add around that product sale is going to be so much greater than the competition. There's no reason why you have to worry about the price, because you're going to get more value over the lifetime of your relationship with us than any other firm that you work with, period, end of story. And to do that, you salespeople have to be very clear about the value proposition and what they're doing. And they can't be afraid to challenge the client or prospect about their current point of view and their current thinking. You know, I heard in one of your podcasts, one of the presenters talked about candor, radical candor, or candor in general. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. But you have to have that trust there first. So it may not be the first time. It may not be the second. But once you build that trust, that candor goes a long way. Because after you have that, that trust allows you to get committed. Committed to the process, committed to the relationship, committed to the solution. And that goes a long way.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, it's so, what do you feel like is the, and again, you're obviously probably speaking from your background experience, is there something, maybe it does start with the research, or how does one get to that place of being not a kind of a salesperson, but more of a consultant? Is it just kind of the blood, sweat, and tears? Do you find that there's a path to that in your own industry? What gets you there?
It's a combination of who you recruit in your culture, yeah, and the leadership surrounding that person or that team or your sales staff. It really is. And for me, as a leader, one of the quotes I use is people won't let you lead them until they know how much you actually care about them. So I spend the majority of my time recruiting top talent, knowing who that is in the industry. And then what I do is not only it's a talent acquisition, talent management. We train you think about this. It's funny to play a 3-hour game on a Sunday. Professional sports teams train for 6 days and they watch 8 hours of film, and you think about it. And we in our industry don't spend enough time training.
Yeah.
So you think about it. We when I took over this team, we had an hour of sales training a week. And that was on a call that everyone was doing something else. They were getting their oil changed, sweeping out their garage, doing something different, right? So how do you train your people and invest in your people? If you want consultative sales, you can't just say it. You have to act on it. Yeah. And so that's leadership, and that's a culture, and that means systems, and that means conversations, picking up the phone and getting off IM and texting all day and having dialogue with people. It is very labor intensive. But when you translate that to your clients, that's exactly what they want. They want a relationship. They want you to know that, look, here's a quote I use with my team all the time. You're going to like this one. Simplicity drives adoption. Adoption implies value. Think about that. Simplicity drives adoption. Adoption applies value. And what that means is this, is if you think of Google back in the 90s or mid to late 90s, it was not the top search engine, right? You had FogDog. You had all these other ones. You had Excite. But what happened is that the simple things in life become very adopted. And the reason is because there's value in that. Now, a good example is Amazon Prime, right? Amazon, it's not that they were disrupted. They solved a customer service problem. When's the last time anyone's called Amazon? You don't. You open up a chat box and you know that when you have a problem, they're going to solve it. And I think in our industry as salespeople, when you really think about your value proposition, what makes you different than everyone else out there? It's that big pitch deck or the big pitch book or your value proposition. People want to know you have to make the complex simple in sales and to let that simplicity drive their ability to understand you. And by repetition, they will actually know where your product and company fits into the solution matrix. And I always say this, I go to Cheesecake Factory with my kids and I know that, it's a funny thing. The menu, we sit there for like an hour looking at that menu. What do we order? It's like paralysis versus you go to In-N-Out Burger and you got three choices plus a milkshake, right? Real simple, but that's what it is. I mean, if you really think about all of that is that, Netflix and they make the complex really simple. And that's what we need to do more of as salespeople. And I think it's to answer your question, it's about the culture. It's about the people you have on your team. And it's about the training and investment you make in them every day.
Yeah. No, I love it. I can't argue. Those are some fundamental principles that for whatever reason, they're not easy to master, but it's something you got to keep your kind of pedal to the metal on. So as we wrap here, I love this idea of kind of passion and bringing that to kind of this last idea of how do you really start to drive success? Can you talk about this 2X driver and passion and how that into being the best you can?
Yeah. It's amazing. When you look at top salespeople too, I call it the multiplier in the interview process, which is achievement drive.
Yeah.
So I always say this in our business, we're in the investment business. And one of our disclaimers, compliance disclaimers, and they would love me saying this on a call, which I will, is past performance is not indicative of future results. And I only say this, past performance is indicative of future results only when managing and leading and hiring people. Mm. And so when you look at the people that really are in the top performers, they're folks that they do this because they love what they do. They rarely talk about the money. They rarely talk about the resources. They know they're really good at building relationships within the organization, and people internally want to help them. So I look at our top sales professionals, and they are awesome at resource allocation. They will make a phone call to people, and it's because of the relationships they've built over 5, 10, 15 years. And those people want to help them. And it's not because they're top salespeople. They never were. Most of them came from, newly minted off internal sales like I did, right? Newly minted, coming off the sales line. But what they do is they have this achievement drive. It's something I can't teach, which is if you looked at a brick wall and said to somebody, a handful of people, how you need to get the other side. How do you get there? Some people will figure out how to get there. A lot of people will quit because it's too hard. The top salespeople know that they're going to go up it. They're going to go under it. They're going to go around it. They're going to get 5 people to build a human ladder, and they're going to jump over the top. They're going to figure it out. And that translates into not only great value they're adding at the point of sale, but also it's something I can't teach. It's the hustle. It's the grind. It's getting up at 4 in the morning to drive 3 hours to a client meeting to know full well that it's going to be, they're not happy with your service. They're not happy with what you sold them. That's the difference. But they do it because they love the clients. They love the process and they love what they do. And that's the passion that I always tell people, if you don't love what you do, get out. Because you're going to be miserable, you're going to make the team miserable, and you're going to make me and management miserable. So we've got a lot of different things we can work on that are more client-focused rather than internal-focused. And that's part of our job in sales leadership, too, is, we all get knocked down. I mean, every week, we're human. We make mistakes. but the mistakes are okay as long as they're not, you know, we'll call them critical mistakes.
Right.
And, but people are going to make mistakes every day, and we have to embrace that. That's part of failure, is part of learning and part of building a winning sales culture.
Yeah, man, that's easier said than done, right? You get knocked
down. It is. It's a lot of work.
Get knocked down and it's hard to get back up. But Brad, really appreciate the talk track. Interesting points around getting to the top of that success ladder in sales. And it sounds like you've certainly been through the gamut, both some good times and some bad times. So if someone wants to get a hold of you or learn a little bit more about what you do, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I would go to LinkedIn. You can go follow me and go to LinkedIn, Brad Jung at Russell Investments, and love to answer any personal questions you guys may have, or any questions you might have about the sales process we use. But it's been refined, and it's a learning journey for all of us, just like you gave.
That's right. It's like it's been refined, and will continue to be refined.
Yes, it will.
So, anyways, Brad, really appreciate the time, and for the audience, remember, success is just one play away.
Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.